Well, joining us now, we have LPGA Tour player and former Solheim Cup player,
2003,
Heather Bowie Young, joining us. Welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you.
All right, so I have to ask, because
we're getting right into it. We're not even slowing down.
No, it's not slowing down. We're going right to it. Suzanne Pedersen, Charlie Hull, Allison Lee, Brittany Lincecum, 17th hole. Allison Lee misses an 8-foot putt to win the hole, 18 inches by the hole. Now, if you're playing against them, how do you react? I mean, whether it's good or not, how do you react? Do you leave the green? Do you walk away? I mean, you stand there, don't you, if you're not going to give it to them?
If I am not giving a putt, I do watch the putt, yes. If I have not conceded a putt, I watch to see what happens. If I have conceded it, I would walk away, yes.
So in your mind, now if you're on the other side of that, if you see the players are gone, I mean, Suzanne Pedersen's long gone, Charlie Hull and the caddies both walk away. I mean, there's an assumption, if you hear somebody in the crowd say something, there's an assumption that putt's been given.
Well, I didn't actually see it live, but Charlie's caddy never left the green, Adam
right.
Woodward, and, you know, he was standing there looking at it because he was looking at his players. So, to me, there was some confusion. When I've had a putt, you know, if I've hit the putt, I always look my opponent square in the eye and either try to read their lips or see them make a hand gesture. But I'm a very careful person, I guess, a very cautious person. So, Suzanne had left the green, yes, but Charlie hadn't and Adam hadn't either. So, you know, for me, obviously I wasn't there. It's very hard to tell.
Well, and obviously the fallout continues. I mean, there's a lot of conversation
yeah.
about what happened and then about the non-apology, which then became an apology. It's the kind of thing, and I know Suzanne has a bit of a reputation being kind of icy and very, very steely about her competition. It's the kind of thing that, and I'm not sure if there was an option there, literally, for them to come back and say, you know what? Putt it. Put it as near to the original spot as possible and putt it. There was some talk about that, but Dan Miceli, another friend of the show, he made
yep.
it sound like that wasn't an option.
Well, if Dan said it wasn't, then I guess it wasn't because he's taken the rules test. I have not. From what I understood in match play, that if there is confusion, if Allison had said, I heard the word good, and Suzanne and them had said, well, it didn't come from us, it must have come from the crowd, I thought that they could replay the shot.
Right.
But if Dan says that they can't, then he's right. I mean, he's rules official. I'm not. But I was under the impression, just from having played match play, that if there is confusion and Allison said, you know, I heard the word good, and they say adamantly they didn't say it, then I thought she could replay the shot, yes.
Yeah, I think Dan's assumption was, or at least what he said, was that, the there's a provision in there to take the shot again if
yeah.
there's some reason. If the rules official on hand can discover that someone said something, or
right.
if he felt confident that, you know, somebody either in the crowd
right.
or one of the caddies or one of the people, you know, walking with the team, not necessarily someone in the stands, had actually said it's good, then there's the provision for him to say, you know, let's just go ahead and do it again. Now,
right.
none of that happened. It became
right.
a big old scene
right.
with tears and drama and craziness.
Yeah.
And in the aftermath, I mean, obviously it probably spurred the U.S. on to some extent, as much as you can, you know, dig deeper in an event that you're already digging as deeply as you possibly can. And then the aftermath. Then you have, you know, not the immediate aftermath, but with some time, not still in the heat of the moment, you know, Pedersen says, yeah, I'd do it again. And then a couple
yeah.
of days later comes this amazingly eloquent. No, I don't. No, I know you're giggling. I'm giggling too. It was an amazingly eloquent apology. Do we buy the apology, and do the other players buy the apology?
It was very well written. I'm sure that on some level, yes, Suzanne is sorry for the way it went down. I'm
right.
sure that she is on some level sorry. But it's a very, very competitive event. Maybe it's gotten too competitive. I don't know. But she really wanted to win that match, and she absolutely, you know, was doing, when you're down, you'll do whatever you can to win a match. I'll tell you, if I was two down, I wouldn't be giving any putt, and whatever their number was. I mean,
right.
But I also wouldn't walk away from the green. Like, I'd stand there and I'd look at it, and if they looked at me, I would do nothing. So I would make it very clear. But I do think on some level that she does, you know, feel bad for, you know, now that she's looked at it. Because when you're in the heat of the moment, you say and do things that everybody does that you'd rather do differently if you could take the emotion out of it.
Yeah, so for you playing back in 2003 on the Solheim Cup team, what kind of pressure is there going out there to play for your country? And how much different is it than hitting a tee shot on the first hole of a regular tournament or even a major for that matter?
It's very nerve-wracking. The one that I played in was the very first one in Sweden, and my first match was against Annika. And it was either Annika and Karin Koch or Annika and Suzanne. I played those two were my opponents in foursomes. And it was I've played in 10 Opens and 50 majors total, and it was more pressure than all those put together.
Wow.
I mean, I almost was like so nauseous I couldn't possibly throw up. Like throwing up might have helped.
That's the external pressure, obviously, of the size of the event and the importance of it. And then how much of that is you? I mean, you being fueled to represent your country. I mean, you know, you didn't serve in the military, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is an opportunity. How much of it is that?
I mean, it is a country thing for sure. I mean, that's the only time I've ever represented the U.S. But I think it's, you know, honestly, for me, it was more about those 12 girls and those two captains. You know, we were just I didn't want to let them down. I happened to play, my partners were my two best friends, which probably wasn't the greatest thing for me, because I probably put too much, you know, I really wanted to do my best for the, you know, for my partners, because they were my best friends. So, to me, it was, I mean, yes, you do have on the red, white, and blue, and yes, you are representing the U.S., but it's so much about those 11 other girls.
Yeah, and throwing up probably would have helped.
Yeah, probably would have.
We're talking to 2003 Solheim Cup team member and current LPGA Tour player Heather Bowie-Young. And Heather, you know, you were a captain's choice back in 2003. And, you know, this year there was some sort of feigned controversy about Paula Creamer, although she was the next player up, being a captain's pick. Is there a different level of pressure being a captain's pick? And in retrospect, how do you think Paula did?
I was impressed with Paula. I think there is extra pressure. I've only had that pressure. I never made the team on my own that year. I was 12th in points, so I didn't feel, you know, I felt like, well, there's 12 girls on the team and I was 12th in points. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was 20th. I wasn't like a dark horse. But then in 05, I was 11th in points, had a win and didn't get picked. So that's the only pressure I know is as a captain's pick. And it definitely, on some level, I did feel like I had to, you know, do well for Patty because she had picked me.
And you also had the chance to play both in the foursomes and the four ball. For you, is it a lot more comfortable to play in the four ball because you're responsible for your own ball, you're hitting your shots, you have a partner that can kind of bail you out, or is it harder to play in the foursomes?
I actually only played foursomes. I did foursomes the first day and foursomes the second day. I did not play four ball at all. And I think they both bring unique pressures, I guess, because, you know, when you go to four ball, you've got to make a lot of birdies. And that, you know, when you're trying that hard, sometimes it's hard to just let it flow and let the birdies come to you. So that's a different kind of pressure than, you know, foursomes. It's like, I've got to hit every shot in play, you know, or else we're going to lose the hole.
All right, I have to get on somebody on the Solheim Cup site because they said you lost foursomes with Laura Diaz and lost four ball with Wendy Ward. So I'm just.
They were both foursome matches. They were both foursome matches.
Well, it also says you punched a spectator and kicked a dog. So we'll check those facts.
That's true. No.
Well, you know, in 2003, for those of us, I'm sort of a women's golf dork. I remember there being a little bit of controversy on the last day with the singles. And, you know, once it was sort of decided, rather than play out the remaining matches, everybody was pulled off the course. What happened?
I think some people just agreed to walk in because that had happened in the past. Like, and it was actually I think it was Meg Mallon in 98 in Muirfield Village, where her point didn't matter. Like, the U.S. already had the cup, so she conceded the last two holes, which gave her opponent, like, the winning, you know, a point. It helped that person's record, and it was seen as a great show of sportsmanship, because, it, you know, it's all about just the cup. It's not about individual records.
Right.
So 2003 comes along, and people remembered that. The other ones in between were too closely contested, so they played them out. In 2003, it didn't matter the last few matches. So, you know, people thought back to 98, but the TV, you know, it's bad for TV when you do that because the TV's got a certain time slot and they want to show golf, even if the cup's already decided.
Yeah, and
so that was sort of the controversy. Like, the players wanted to concede the matches, and the they didn't want us to because of TV.
Yeah, okay. So definitely a bummer for TV and a bummer for the fans there.
It is.
Watching.
Yeah, I mean, they want to see, because, I mean, in 03, it was decided early on Sunday.
Yes, it was. Not my favorite Solheim Cup, I will say.
No, it was decided very early. Yeah.
All right, so as a participant, as an LPGA player, and do you feel like, you know, they always say that any publicity is good publicity. Does this just really make it so that in 2017, the hype is going to be unbelievable for the next Solheim Cup?
I do think that any publicity is good publicity. I do. I mean, there's a lot more people talking about this Solheim Cup than any other one I've ever seen. I think it is, you know, I mean, the U.S. girls showed tremendous, tremendous heart because, you know, the beginning yesterday morning or Sunday morning, there was a lot of blue on the board in those first five matches. And they showed a lot of heart to get it back and, I mean, do something that's never been done. So, but, you know, we are still talking about it, which is great for women's golf. And so I think it will be even bigger and better in 2017.
Yeah, amen. I love that we're talking about it. Now, do you dare tell me who you think the captain will be in that year?
Oh, I have no idea. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't thought about it. I don't know. I would think Rosie Jones has got to be coming up.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
I would think. I don't know if you kind of ride it and let Julie do it again, give her an away and a home. I don't know. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to find out. Well, Heather, we really appreciate you hopping on with us, and we look forward to watching you to get back out there and play some more and play some really good golf on the LPGA Tour.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Heather Bowie-Young.